On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law," he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Now, if he'd just accepted this, that would have been okay. But he wanted to justify himself. And that's a trap easy to fall into. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Judea when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, and that would be the equivalent of 2 days' wages of a labourer, and he gave the coins to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And anyone walking from Jerusalem to Jericho would need to cope with walking a distance of about 17 miles, sort of Bishop Auckland to Chesterley Street. But there was no A1 road or any conditions like that, because the terrain was very much mainly desert conditions. And it would also be downhill all the way, due to the fact that Jerusalem was around 2,500 feet above sea level and Jericho was around 800 feet below sea level. So it was downhill all the way. And given the isolated terrain, people on this road were easy targets for bandits, who would have found ample hiding places and escape routes where no one could pursue them. Some points in the road, it is so narrow that a passerby would have had to literally step over a body. And the Samaritans were known as the ones who would rob the Jews on this road as they went up to Jerusalem on holy days. Now, the expert of the law would have known this route and its problems in trying to travel safely. There would have been no food or water, no shelter from the elements. So the victim would be utterly exposed and isolated and desperate for help. Now, the parable of the Good Samaritan is probably known to most of us. In essence, when first looked at, it's about breaking down cultural divide. I liken the parable to a first aid kit, because certainly the oil and the wine would have had an antiseptic effect on this poor man's injuries. And in this story of the Good Samaritan, a hated man did what he could with what he had, and thereby saved a man's life. And you know, from learning CPR, to baking a cake, to carrying an extra umbrella, that can position you and I to help others. For we should never underestimate that what we do can heal some of the deepest wounds that we may encounter in society today. Now, the expert in the law asked a common question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Note he said I, not what we must do. Now, maybe he was wanting to take issue with Jesus, or maybe to see what kind of teacher he is. If he was an expert in law, he would have known the answer. So he follows up a second question to boost his credibility. Who is my neighbor? So Jesus uses the illustration of a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest, a religious leader. The Levite, a lay person. The Samaritan, a hated foreigner. Notice that Jesus didn't commend either the priest or the Levite. To show what real love looks like, Jesus highlights the kindness of a Samaritan. I often wonder how the law expert felt as Jesus said this. Was he squirming a bit as Jesus was talking? After all, the Samaritans were known as the idol-worshipping descendants of Israelites, who intermarried with the pagan population in Samaria. Now, we tend to think of the word neighbor as the people next door to us. But of course, in reality, it's everyone who we come across daily. Love is deeply bound up with mercy, the act of relieving someone's suffering. While we've been in the situation of COVID-19's virus, we've seen many, many people suffering, both in this country and the rest of the world. And we can think of William's grandparents, his mother, other family members in Brazil. Now, the great thing about the Samaritan is that he had compassion or pity. The Greeks describe it as to be moved or ached inwardly. It's a term often used to describe Jesus' reaction to human suffering, such as blind men by the road, or crowds of people with no one to touch them and teach them. Here are some questions to consider. How does it affect your relationship with Jesus to know that he aches inwardly when you are in trouble? And why do you think Jesus used a story about pain to convey the meaning of love? The New Testament uses different Greek words for love. The one here is a form of agape, understood as a self-sacrificing love like God's. Jesus sees mercy as an expression of love. Strong's Concordance book defines mercy as kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. Can you and I show someone that expression of compassion, love, and mercy today and tomorrow? Because yesterday's gone. On the surface, this is a story about mercy to relieve suffering. But a closer look shows it's also about forgiveness. Jesus made it clear that the action took place in Judea, where the Samaritans were hated. In fact, the Jews wouldn't normally even speak to them. The Samaritan helped not just a little bit, but at great personal expense. It appears the Samaritan was alone when he passed the dying man. He acted with great love, without any audience watching him. And you know, the more that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more our hearts will respond with his aching, sacrificial love. Jesus' parable can help us see forgiveness as a form of mercy. Those who need pardon are often suffering through shame or regret, even if they fail to acknowledge it. Sin always damages the soul or relationships. The story of the Good Samaritan is one of the best known of Jesus' teaching. And the message is so necessary in understanding what Christianity is all about. The Christian faith of following Jesus reaches out beyond our tribal walls. Our neighbors are those who need us. Even children, on hearing this Bible story, can understand that the story simply says, be good to others, show compassion, help those who need help. The unexpected hero is an interesting twist. The Samaritan made a human connection with the unfortunate man lying in the ditch. No matter that it was crossing boundaries and cultural differences, the person he helped under other circumstances might not have wanted him anywhere near. The Samaritan assumed it was important to act kindly and worth the risk to do so. Mother Teresa once said, help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you. God is with us, so let's go with God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Of kindness.